Thing. Let's take a look at Psalm 45. Our devotion is based on the psalm this evening, and the title reads, "To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, for the sons of Korah, Maskil, a song of loves." Verse 1. "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God has thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy lord. And worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions, that follow her shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever." Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we pray that you would fill our hearts with a knowledge that you are our beloved. Help us, Lord, to not just understand, but help us to feel gratitude and express our heart's desire for Christ, even as we go through this psalm and find the meaning thereof. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this psalm, Psalm 45, we see the beauty of Christ and the love of his people for him. Now, we always think, the Bible is quite sedate, right? It's not so emotional, especially when it talks about our love for Christ. But on the, you know, if you were to read some of the Psalms, especially Psalm 45, if you were to read a Song of Solomon, it talks about the affection that God or Christ has for us and the affection that the church ought to have for Christ. Now, the beauty of Christ is not only spoken of here, but it is seen in other passages of the Bible, and we'll take a look at some of those. Now, the title of the psalm reads, "To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, for the sons of Korah, a Maskil," and it says it is a song of loves. Now, Colossians speaks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, And that, of course, is a reference to the titles of various psalms. You know, some psalms are called psalms, other psalms are called hymns, and other psalms are called songs. And this is one of the songs that Paul speaks about. And what is more, we see that it is a song of... Now, verse 1 reads, "My heart is inditing a good matter." Now, the word inditing means to boil or to bubble. Right? So what the writer is saying is that his heart is boiling over. He is excited because of something good. Right? It is inditing a good matter. It shows that he is ardent, he is passionate, and he is completely happy about one good thing. Okay? Now, what is this good thing? What good thing is he passionate about? What is the thing that warms him, that causes him to boil over? And we see that the good thing is the king. He says, "I speak of the things which I have made touching the king." Now, who is this king that the psalmist is passionate about? Now, in verse 6, we see that the king is God. Right? "Thy throne." Now, who sits on the throne? A king. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." So we see here that it's not just an earthly king with a limited lifespan, but he lives forever, and he is God. And what is more is that his throne, his dynasty, it also lasts forever. You know, if you study Chinese history, there are so many dynasties, right? You know, you've got the Three Kingdoms, then you've got the Autumn and Summer periods, then you have the Zhou Dynasty, and then you have the Han Dynasty, then you've got the Eastern Qing Dynasty, the Western Qing Dynasty. You've got all these various dynasties because they fall and they rise. But we learn here that this king, his throne, his dynasty will last forever. So he is God, right? This king is God. But furthermore, we read in verse 7 that he is also distinct from God. He is God, but he is distinct from God. Now, verse 7 reads, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So while he is God, we see here, yet God has anointed him. So who is God and yet distinct from God? Now, of course, we know our theology. We know that it is Christ, right? And these verses here are also quoted in the New Testament, right? This is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. So let's take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews speaks about Christ, the Anointed One, and he uses these verses here to prove that Jesus, right, is all. Hebrews 1, 8-9, it says, "But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Okay? So who is this God that the psalmist is passionate over? Well, it's Christ. Who is God? Distinct from God also. Now we want to take a look at the reasons why he is passionate. And the reasons why is because the king of whom he is boiling over is beautiful and powerful. Now, verse 2 of Psalm 45 says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." So we see here that the king is fairer than the of men. Now let's take a look at another passage that talks about this. Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, chapter 5, verse 10. Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, chapter 5, verse 10. I'm going to wait until you get there. I know it's one of those Bible books that you don't really often flip to, huh? Right? Now, let us read that together. Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, chapter 5, verse 10. It says, together, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Alright? So here it speaks about how white, how fair he is, and he is fairer than the children of men. It says he is chief in fairness, right? Chiefest of 10,000. Now the whiteness, the fairness here is not literal, but it really talks about the beauty of his holiness, the beauty of his grace, right? We learn in verse 2 that grace is poured into thy lips, right? The holiness, the righteousness of Christ. Now not only is he gracious and holy, but the psalmist is passionate over Christ's power. We see this in verse 5 of Psalm 45. It says, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Now, what does this speak about? It talks about, really, the justice. It talks about the justice of Christ when he comes. Now, I want to pose this to you. You know, in a lot of our hymns and even our theology, we think, oh, Christ is wonderful because he died for me. There's that gratitude. But we see here that the psalmist is passionate not just over the grace of God, but he is also passionate over the justice of God. Right? I think that's a wonderful thing. It adds something to our theology. Okay? It says that we aren't only excited about salvation, we're also excited about God's righteousness and his fulfilling of his will upon this earth when he comes to judge the nations. Now, take a look at Zechariah 9, and we see similar words here. Zechariah 9, verse 14. Zechariah 9, verse 14. And I'm going to have you read this with me together. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning. And the Lord God shall trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. Now, here is the language of Psalm 45. Right? The arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. And here in Zechariah 9, right, the arrows of the Lord shall go out, and it will go out when the Lord shall blow the trumpet. Now, what does this remind you of? It reminds you of the coming of Christ, right? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, so Christ will come, and that's when he comes to judge the nations of the earth. And Zechariah tells us that all will see him. Verse 17 of Zechariah 9, everyone will behold his goodness. How great is the beauty of Christ. Now, this adds another dimension. You know, when believers see Christ coming, we see his beauty, we see his arrows, we see his judgment, and that's beautiful for us. Now, but it's not beautiful for, obviously, for the condemned, right? For those, you know, who are not believers. So this is what we ought to be passionate about, according to the psalm. So for us believers today, we don't have to wait to be passionate about Christ when he comes. You know, we even have what 1 Peter 1:8 says, that even though we may not have seen Christ, yet we have this unspeakable joy. You know, we love him, right? we haven't seen him, but we love him. Right? And we joy with unspeakable joy. Now, knowing who Christ is, we should ever be growing in our love and affection for him. Now, this word indicting is the same word that is used in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10, which we read just now, where the writer, the Shulamite woman, she said, "My beloved, he is fairer, and he is he's the chiefest of 10,000." Now that word "beloved" and the word "indicting," it's basically the same root word. Okay, it basically tells us that my beloved is the one for whom my heart boils over, right? Someone who is your beloved is someone that you're passionate about. So that really here is the same word. And the word boil has the idea of heat, passion. It talks about the heart being strangely warmed. Now, which portion of the Bible do you see that, where the hearts of the believers are strangely warmed? Remember that from the road to Emmaus, right? The disciples there, after Jesus was crucified, I think that was in Luke 24, after Christ was crucified, they returned, right? And they were pondering over the things that had happened. They were confused. They were confounded. But Christ appeared to them, he talked to them, and he, opened the scriptures and he revealed to them who he was. And they realized, and it was at that point in time that he ascended, he disappeared. And they said, were our hearts not strangely warmed? Did our hearts not burn within us? Right? That's what they said. Instead of going back to Emmaus, they did, 180 degree turn, and they walked back to Jerusalem. So I suppose there are several, practical applications for us. The love of Christ and the love for Christ is something that ought to consume us. How frequently do we meditate upon how beautiful Christ is? Generally, the classic, now I don't mean to deprecate all of us here, but the classic fundamentalist thinking is, we have to serve Christ, we have to do work for him, we have to do a great, ministry for him. Even our quiet time, so to speak, our devotions need to be like mini Bible studies. When do we stop to cultivate our affection for Christ? You have to consider what he has done for us. And this is not, one does not have to be charismatic for this. One can be biblically charismatic, to experience that love of God, to yearn after him. So I don't know what's in your heart, I know what's in mine, and at times, I do realize that my love for him, it wanes. I don't have as much affection for Christ as I should. You ask me if my heart burns for him, and I'll say that not always. But that's the purpose of the word, or of coming together for fellowship, as we consider what Christ has done. And it's an opportunity to stir our hearts to manifest some love for Christ. Christ said, of course, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love him, we are yearning and we are walking towards greater holiness. in our lives. Our thoughts, our innermost thoughts, our desires, we will want them to be His desires. So I just leave you with that word. And to help us to ask the question, how passionate are we for the Lord? And don't ever equate passion for the amount of service for what you do. It is about how much you desire Christ in your lives. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what He has done. And we thank you for giving unto us someone who is so holy, someone so filled with grace. We thank you, Lord, for His sacrifice on Calvary. Lord, we pray that you would do a work in our hearts, that we may behold the beauty of Christ, His holiness, His righteousness, all that He has done, and put within our hearts a greater gratitude, a greater affection for Him. Lord, we know that this is only a work that you can do. Fill our hearts with greater love, for indeed it has told us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So we pray, Lord, that this work will continue in us. We pray this in Christ's name.